Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to DearHoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to DearHoffman.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And a reminder, Layla Mudin is our Hoffman Center nutritionist. We see patients together, but Layla is also available for consultations. She can see patients even remotely, although patients who come to see me for a medical visit, we've got to do an intake with you in person, and I have to do a physical. We do a comprehensive visit. But if you like your doctor and you want to keep your doctor, but you just want some additional nutritional guidance, Layla's available via drhoffman.com. That'll give you information about that, or call the Hoffman Center for information. So with that said, what's our next question?
We've got a question from Donato. Thanks so much for a good education. I listen to your podcast often. Maybe you could discuss magnesium stearate. Dr. Mercola has come out staunchly against magnesium stearate. He says it's a chalk-like lubricating compound used to prevent supplements from sticking together. I know that some of your supplements have this ingredient, but I know that you and Layla will discuss it intelligently.
Mm-hmm. I think you did a little specific homework on that subject.
Yeah. So magnesium stearate is actually a flow agent. And by the way, for those of you who don't subscribe to our newsletter, please go to drhoffman.com and you will see a copy of our response, of my response in particular, to this question about magnesium stearate. It is a flow agent, and it's actually considered good manufacturing practice to use it because these particular flow agents, magnesium stearate in particular, make sure that there's a consistent amount of product per capsule.
Okay.
In addition, because otherwise, if you don't have a flow agent, you're not going to know that you're getting the same amount of vitamin, mineral, or other micronutrient or other product in a particular serving as in a capsule or a tablet. The other thing is, the flow agents do prevent ingredients from sticking together and to the equipment used in encapsulating the product. But let's break it down a little bit. Magnesium is a mineral. And stearic acid is a saturated fat. It's found in common foods like eggs, coconut oil, beef, chocolate, walnuts, even human breast milk.
Yeah, there's a lot of magnesium stearate in chocolate, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and now here's the thing. Magnesium in and of itself, people are afraid that if they're taking supplements with magnesium stearate in it, that they're overdosing on magnesium. Here's the actual breakdown. Magnesium stearate is actually only 4%. Magnesium, with stearic acid comprising 96% of the compound magnesium stearate. So you really don't have to worry about anything like that. That's not the form it's coming in.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, you know, I have
no beef with magnesium stearate.
Right. So let me point out one other thing. And, you know, I have immense respect for Dr. Mercola. He's a great communicator. And he's done a fabulous job in communicating the really important information to the public. He has millions of followers on his website, and he does a good job. However, he has a little bit of a dog in the fight here because his supplements, which, you know, frankly, is a source of income to Mercola.com, are touted as magnesium stearate free. And that gives them a distinction over other supplements. And it could be a selling point for the Dr. Mercola line. So, you know, that's implicit in that is a little bit of a conflict of interest. Now, you can say, well, I have a similar conflict of interest because I sell products that have magnesium stearate in there. And of course, I'm going to defend it. On the other hand, you know, I'm really in touch with people in the industry. I socialize with them. I talk to them all the time. And I've discussed this many times. in meetings and at dinner and in hallways at medical conferences. And, you know, magnesium stearate really is safe. It's not toxic. It's been thoroughly investigated. Allegations of toxicity have been circulating for decades. The evidence is really misleading. It's based on some test tube studies that use enormously high levels that don't accurately represent the data that's observed in human clinical trials when people consume small amounts of magnesium stearate. And there's really a tiny amount in the capsules, just enough to lubricate the powder that's in the capsules. And you know, and also, it'd be one thing if it was a synthetic thing, but magnesium's natural, and stearic acid is natural, and when you combine them, you get magnesium stearate. It's the predominant saturated fat in the human diet. And, you know, you get a tip. I'm reading a statistic here. A 200-calorie serving of dark chocolate, that's pretty small piece, can it contain up to 5 grams of stearates. It's in olive oil. It's in virtually all fats and oils. And, you know, it actually gets metabolized normally. And it isn't hydrogenated. Some people say, well, it's hydrogenated. No, it isn't. It's actually not.
It's not
hydrogenated.
It's a saturated fat. Yeah.
Yeah. It's saturated.
It's
it does.
It's a naturally forming saturated fat. There was another concern by many that it had been reported that magnesium stearate can suppress immune T cell function, but this has also been debunked. This was part of a mouse study where their T cells and the biochemistry with that immune system is not the same as the immune system of a human being at all. So they're completely comparing apples to oranges. So there is no suppression of immune T cell function in humans. Yeah, maybe it happened in a mouse and a rat.
Well, mice and rats don't generally consume beef tallow. You know, that's they're more herbivorous animals. So you could, I mean, we've demonstrated, for example, that if you feed rabbits lots and lots of saturated fat, you give them atherosclerosis. And that's actually one of the reasons why we now have this theory that cholesterol and saturated fat cause atherosclerosis in humans. But rabbits, I mean, you all remember what a rabbit does. They're basically, you know, eating grass. And, you know, if you ever raised rabbits, it's like these little vegetarian pellets you give them. So, yeah, of course, you give them the wrong. It's like putting, you know, diesel fuel into your gasoline car. It's going to gum up the works.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyway, bottom line, magnesium stearate is safe. I think some people try to get a competitive edge in a vitamin and supplement marketplace by alleging that other supplements are dangerous or toxic. I mean, look, there's plenty of reasons to worry about junk that's in supplements. If you look at the typical one-a-day vitamin, or if you look at, you know, some of the cheap multis that are available in discount drugstores, they've got all kinds of bad stuff. They've got artificial coloring, titanium dioxide, carnauba wax, you know, not happy stuff that is approved. You know, and by the way, just because something's approved by the FDA, that doesn't mean that it's safe or desirable to consume. You know, NutraSweet is NutraSweet is approved
is
by
grass.
The right
grass
generally
recognized as safe. GRAS
generally recognized as safe. Yeah. So anyway, I think we should put that to rest.
Yeah, so Donato, that's the lowdown on magnesium stearate.
Right.
It's a friend, not a foe.
Right.
Okay. Our next question is from Katie. One of my grandsons, age 23, has been suffering with throwing up every morning for years. He's had a number of tests and was given a medication to stop stomach acid. A doctor told him it was in his head. I can't believe this.
Wow.
What are your thoughts about this? And he's a smoker.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. Look, I mean, this, it's
he
beyond
needs a consult.
Yeah, it needs a consult. So, all right. It's pretty irrational to give somebody an acid blocker to stop chronic vomiting. Although, you know, there's a saying by the sociologist Bruno Bettelheim, which is famous, which is if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything's going to look like a nail. So in the field of gastroenterology, we don't have many tools. I mean, pharmacologically. So acid blockers, you know, figure, well, you know, let's give it a shot. Maybe that's what's irritating his stomach and esophagus, and we'll just give it to him. That is likely to make things worse because the main reason that we see in the Hoffman Center, and I think you'll agree, Layla, for chronic nausea, and we've had some patients with vomiting, is something called SIBO, which is small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And God knows, you know, this guy's a smoker. Well, God knows what he's eating. He may have a rip-roaring case of SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, where literally his gastrointestinal tract is turned into a fermenting vat, and that causes enormous distension, gas production, and upchucking. And and look, I won't dismiss psychiatric component to this, because stress can cause people to be nauseous and vomit. But, you know, so often we've seen kids, for example, who've been accused of having school phobia. Every time they go to school, they have a stomach ache or they throw up, and they think, well, oh, you know, this kid needs to see the school psychologist because they're just very, very freaked out about going to school. It's called school phobia. And yet what the problem was is that they had a gastrointestinal problem. They had an allergy. They had potentially gluten intolerance, or they had dairy intolerance, or they had bacterial overgrowth of the small intestine, SIBO. And by treating that, they're less nauseous. And, you know, that, I think, is the right way to go, rather than questioning the mental soundness of a person on the basis of a symptom that just doesn't show up on the Western medical metrics.
And, you know, interestingly, I don't think SIBO is a test that a gastroenterologist would go for first.
First, but they do it. They do that now. They recognize that it's an issue.
Yeah, but they do it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. More and more.
Yeah, that's good.
But, again, we were pioneers in beginning to do this test many years ago. Now it's become more popular. And it also has a procedure code, and, you know, you can file for insurance reimbursement. So, hey, you know, as long as it gets covered, you know, they're going to do the test, right? That's the key. It's like, what's the code? What's the code? We'll,
Right, right. So, Katie, it's likely your grandson needs a further workup for SIBO or something else besides just being given an acid blocker. Best of luck with your grandson. Wow. Okay.
I mean, but, you know, the fact that he's still a smoker, it suggests that something psychological is going on, because it's so irrational to continue smoking and putting toxins into your system when you're throwing up all the time. It just doesn't make sense.
That's true. Oof. Wow.
I mean, smoking is nauseating enough, right?
Francine has a question for us about berberine. Are there any adverse effects with the long-term use of berberine? I'll tell you, when we got that question, I looked it up on the Natural Medicines database. I did not see anything.
Okay.
You know, besides, don't take it if you're pregnant and lactating, but, you know.
Yeah. You want to talk a little bit about what berberine does?
Berberine actually does a lot of things. It's been taken for heart failure. It could be taken for hypertension. Hmm. It's wonderful for lowering blood sugar.
Right.
So it's terrific for people with metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, and diabetes.
Now, you know,
and I think it's been used forever for diarrhea.
Right. Yeah. I have to say that I've been using it for, you know, 20, 25 years, and when I didn't even know that it had a benefit on diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular protection. But we used it because it's a natural antibiotic. Some of it, actually, no longer is it really extracted from golden seal. It used to be extracted from golden seal, but golden seal is increasingly rare, and so most of it comes from a plant called Oregon graperoot. And the it was originally used as a natural antibiotic. The Hydrastis extract from golden seal was actually used in eye drops for eye infections in, you know, the early 20th century. And then, you know, they went to more purified chemical eye drops. But it is a natural antibiotic. It actually suppresses the growth of harmful bacteria. That may be why it's helpful for gastrointestinal problems. It somewhat suppresses bacterial overgrowth.
And Francine, if you are using it for GI symptoms, you also want to make sure that you're cleaning up your diet, that you're not continuing to feed any bad bacteria or anything like that. That means a very low-sugar, low-glycemic, natural foods eating plan, pretty much. Looking for food allergies is also helpful.
In some studies, berberine is as effective as the diabetes drug metformin at normalizing blood sugar. And one thought I have is that there is a relationship between the microbiome and metabolism. And you know, it's not clear this is the only way that berberine works, but maybe one of the ways in which it produces benefits is it changes the microbiome in such a way that it helps to reduce insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. That's one thought as to how it really has multiple modes of action. But it can be taken long-term. It's one of the things that's generally safe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your question, Francine.
And by the way, the product that we use that incorporates berberine is kind of an interesting product. It's called CM Core, and it has high-quality berberine in conjunction with grapeseed extract. And grapeseed extract in itself is a circulatory enhancer, and it also has some properties for potentially relaxing the arterial lining and helping to normalize blood pressure. So CM Core we use with patients with cardiovascular risk, with diabetes. It's a pretty effective product all around.
Yeah.
It's one of our best-selling products at drhoffman.com.
Yeah. Okay. We've got another question from Judy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I heard you mention magnesium taurate is good for blood pressure. Speaking of.
Yeah.
I also know you recommend Jigsaw magnesium malate, which is what I currently take. There doesn't seem to have any magnesium taurate in Jigsaw. Should I change the kind of magnesium I'm currently taking to lower my blood pressure slightly?
I think the reason I would prescribe, I mean, I like Jigsaw magnesium.
Yeah.
But I also like magnesium taurate. Magnesium taurate I tend to use more in people with cardiac arrhythmias because I think that the taurine in the magnesium taurate is a stabilizer of heart rhythm and nerve impulses. It seems to help normalize.
It's also a diuretic, which can help with blood pressure.
Okay.
So I wonder if it isn't a better, for people with blood pressure, I normally tell them about magnesium taurate.
Good. Yeah, and it's not rocket science, but magnesium malate is more geared towards fibromyalgia. It's thought to have benefits in achy body and perhaps fatigue states. And although I have to tell you that just yesterday I saw a patient who had fairly high blood pressure, and he swears that since taking Jigsaw magnesium, that's all it took. Every time we check his blood pressure now, it's 120 over 80. And this is,
just the magnesium in and of itself.
Yeah, I think you know the patient. He's kind of a nervous patient too, but he now has he's nervous as ever, but his blood pressure is normal. but it's something to be a little more high strung. I think that shows that the magnesium probably weighs more heavily on the blood pressure control than whether it's combined with malate or taurate.
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Judy.
Unless we have a real quickie, I think that's all the time we have for today's edition of Q&A with Layla.
This one is not a quickie.
Okay. So we'll reserve that for next time. And just want to remind you that these podcasts are free, F-R-E-E, our favorite four-letter word that starts with F, at the Hoffman Center. And therefore, enjoy the podcasts, use them, share them, get the word out, but also help support our endeavor by going to drhoffman.com and shopping there for your supplement needs, because you're going to get great supplements. The things we talk about are listed there. And at reasonable and competitive prices, many of the products that sometimes are hard to find in ordinary retail health food stores or even on the internet. So check it out, drhoffman.com. Click on shop and take a peek at our vitamin dispensary, because we got some great products there. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.